folks. Welcome back. It's pretty simple how it works. In the case of something like Iran, you send operatives into Iran with briefcases full of cash. They insinuate themselves into rebellious factions within Iran. They encourage uprisings, attacks on the domestic security forces, or just, you know, large riots and protests. And that's one pincer of the pincer move. The other pincer of the pincer move is you have the American government announce if Iran cracks down on these protests, America will get involved. So you try to hamper their response while, you know, fostering the internal turmoil. All of this, you know, timed to coincide with the kidnapping of Maduro and the elimination of various proxies around Israel, including Hezbollah in Lebanon. That's the big push right now. And they've been trying this forever, and a similar tactic is used. It was called the Caesar Act a little while ago, and essentially American muscle, American prosperity, the American economy being used to try to crush Lebanon and convince the Lebanese government to take action against Hezbollah. It hasn't really worked, and I'll show you a video that explains why, but again, from Al Jazeera, Israel has continued its attacks on Lebanon despite a U.S. Brokered ceasefire in 2024, which ended more than a year of heavy fighting between its forces and Hezbollah. The Israeli military has repeatedly violated the truce with bombardment and continues to occupy five areas in the country. Lebanon has faced growing pressure from the U.S. and Israel to disarm Hezbollah, and its leaders fear Israel could escalate strikes. Lebanon's army was expected to complete the disarmament south of the Litani River, 19 miles from the border of Israel, by the end of 2025. Of course, that hasn't happened. Beirut-based security affairs analyst Ali Rizik says the latest attacks come as no surprise following last week's meeting between U.S. President Donald Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. There have been reports that Israel got the green light to escalate against Hezbollah. The Lebanese government is expected to meet on Tuesday to discuss the army's progress in disarming Hezbollah, which remains powerful despite heavy losses it sustained at the hands of Israel, which include the killing of longtime leader Hassan Nasrallah in September 2024. A ceasefire monitoring committee, including peacekeepers from Lebanon, Israel, France, the U.S., and the United Nations, is set to meet in the coming days. Israel's continued bombardment has drawn sharp criticism from the U.N., who has reported in November that at least 127 civilians, including children, have been killed in Lebanon since the ceasefire took effect in late 2024. UN officials have warned the attacks amount to war crimes. And now they're trying to, you know, get the Lebanese government to try to disarm Hezbollah. I don't think that's going to happen. Clip 57 is why. This is a speech from the late leader of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah. Let's watch. Clip 57 here. She says, what is happening in Gaza proved that the international institutions, the international order, the international community, and the international law is not able to protect any people. International law, international order is meaningless. It is unable to protect anyone. Memorize this, O Lebanese. 22,000 martyrs and nearly 60,000 wounded in Gaza, and the international community just watches. And then you have some Lebanese people seeing this and saying, hand over your weapons. The UN resolution will protect us. The international community will protect us. Allow me to say, it isn't about differences of perspective anymore. This is an opinion, and this is another, and you have to respect them. No, this has become a blindness of the heart, a blindness of the sight. It is a blindness of insight. Indeed, it is not the eyes that are blind, but it is the hearts and chests that grow blind. Isn't that the reality now? What does this experience say, and what will I transition the last section of the speech? This experience says that if you are weak, the world will not acknowledge nor you, nor will it protect you, nor will it defend you, nor will it cry for you. Even crying, it will not cry for you. What will protect you? And they're all chanting at your service, Nasrallah at your service. What will protect you is your power, your courage, your fist, your weapons, your missiles, and your presence in the battlefield. Like, do you see how damaging Israel is to its own ends? They take the way that Israel has been treating the Palestinians, and they say, do you want to be treated like that? Because that's what happens when you rely on the international community to protect you. You have to protect yourself. They're not giving up their weapons.
Right. simple traditions, pure delight. Optimal human beef tallow treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWars.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms!
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, Infowars.com, band.video. By the way, please follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. And if you wouldn't mind liking and retweeting some stuff, that would be really nice. That'd be really nice. I've always had a particular disdain for people on X that every time I see one of their posts, it's them complaining about their posts not being seen. And I always just think like, well, just post better stuff. People will see your stuff. Then I became the victim of true shadow banning. And it's very frustrating, to be honest with you. And it happened because I took a week off for Thanksgiving. I didn't realize taking a week off for Thanksgiving from X would mean that I just would be destroyed in popularity. It's, again, a little bit frustrating. And I wouldn't complain if it was just like, oh, I'm not doing as, you know, my posts aren't doing as well as they normally are. I ran the numbers. I'm getting a quarter of the reach that I was getting before Thanksgiving. It kind of sucks. It's like, it's kind of nice routinely getting like posts to go viral and having millions of people see them. Kind of nice. I'm at a quarter of my reach. And it was like, I took a week off. I came back. My numbers were low. I thought, all right, well, the first week I'm back, it's probably fine. Now it's been like 5-6 weeks. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? So I want to ask you to help me overcome this. Help me overcome the fact that, I don't know, taking a week off means I'm not allowed to be popular on X anymore. So I would appreciate it if you'd tweet out some of our stuff, retweet some of our stuff, share our stuff. I'm at Harrison H. Smith, InfoWars at InfoWars, at Real Alex Jones, at AJN Live. Lots of ways to connect to us and share our stuff. But I would appreciate humanity overcoming the algorithmic restrictions that have been placed on me, apparently. Again, I've never been one of those people that I'm just going to like post constantly like, why are my posts not doing well? But man, it is frustrating. It is very frustrating knowing that, you know, 2 months ago, the posts, certain posts, I'm like, this is going to get big. This one's going to get big and then just goes nowhere. It's like, well, this sucks. Just kind of sucks. And again, I wouldn't be complaining if it wasn't literally a quarter of the reach that I used to have. So it's a little frustrating, and I would love your help to circumvent some of the restrictions that we've been placed on. It's also funny people being like, maybe it's because you went after Candace and everybody hates that. And it's like, actually, funnily enough, I gained followers for the first time in a year after the Candace stuff. And I'm talking about Thanksgiving. I'm talking about weeks before anything with Candace happened. But it's okay. Candace followers maybe not the best at timelines. I don't know. They may not be the best. And by the way, it's sort of broken containment and is going a little bit mainstream. Oh, is she talking about it? She's back. Okay, yeah, she's back on air today. She'll probably talk about it. How do y'all think she's gonna take this? Because now the guy's saying his dad is the Zodiac killer, which is interesting, which doesn't exactly contribute to his trustworthiness. And you know what's funny? it's like everything, it's almost like everything can be interpreted both ways. Like, I don't know, when people were criticizing this Mitch Snow guy, the defense of him, Candace will be like, well, you know, he didn't even want to be on the show. And I was like, but he was on your show. But he was, though. So, like, what do you mean he didn't want to come on the show? He pretended not to? Oh, and you said you want to come on the show? He said, ah, gee, I don't know. I'm not really looking for fame. But then he ended up coming on your show. So, see, when I don't want to go on a show, I don't go on that show. So, it seems like if he didn't want to be on the show, if he didn't want attention from this, then he wouldn't have gone on your show, right? Does that make sense? And then they're like, somebody else is like, oh, he's refusing to accept any money. Like, okay, on one hand, that could be an admirable thing where he's just like, look, I want to prove this is not about money, so I'm not accepting any money. Could also be the opposite. Could also be that he doesn't want to get charged with fraud and that accepting money on the basis of a lie would constitute fraud. So he's saying, I don't want the money. I refuse to accept the money. Like, okay, well, is that because you're such a good guy, or is that because you know that accepting the money would constitute fraud? I wonder. I don't know. I don't know which one it is, but it could be either. Could be either. But it's breaking containment, and I've seen a lot of YouTubers that I watch, not about politics, are covering this, mostly because Alex went after her, and these people weren't really paying attention to Candace, and then saw Alex's coverage, and were like, wait, if Alex Jones is saying that you are being a crazy conspiracy theorist, maybe we need to look into this. So now there's like the Willie Mack show. It's a pretty popular, like, drama YouTuber that will, you know, talk about people who are running scams and stuff like that. And he put a video out saying Candace Owens is unironically evil. It's like 20 minutes of her just completely contradicting herself. I don't think it's going to go well, the increased attention. Old Candace, I don't know, though. You know, maybe she can manifest it into something real. I doubt it. I think it's going to go away, actually. But anyway, we don't have to talk about that. But I do want to remind you once again that we have a special sale on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com, your one-stop shop for patriotic merchandise. We got a new run of hats and shirts that are all very cool, would make fantastic presents for the info warrior in your family. But if you want to meet your New Year's resolutions and be the best you can be in 2026, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Check out some of the supplements or some of the, I don't even know, like, would you even call beef tallow a supplement? It's not a supplement. It's a cooking material. It's extremely healthy. It does have extremely powerful effects. It's significantly better for you than what you're probably using right now, which may be canola oil or some sort of seed oil. But I don't know, do we even call it a supplement? We need like a new name for what we sell, because we have amazing supplements, but we also have amazing things like beef tallow, which of course can be the replacement. I mean, it used to be that people fried things in butter and tallow. Now it's all seed oils and these, you know, industrial runoff crap that they try to tell you is food so they can sell it to you rather than having to pay to have it recycled. Beef tallow is the replacement for all of that. Beef tallow is, you can cook with it. You can also make things with it. I know, I was talking about when we first got it, I had just seen that my wife had tallow-based makeup. And I was just reading about tallow on the bottle of makeup going, man, this tallow stuff sounds really cool. We should get some. And then boom, we have it. Optimal Human beef tallow. But get any supplement and you get free a bottle of the Shilajit gummies or the Atomic Defense supplement. So buy any supplement and get one of those absolutely free, your choice, right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Get that free gift, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. And with that, we'll move on to a whole bunch of other major stories that we have to cover this hour. We'll move on from Venezuela and Israel. I think we'll start with really a good story, good news, a positive outcome to a story that we have been talking about for a while now, trying to sound the alarm about, and that is pesticide immunity in a spending bill. Now, this was Tiffany Cianci originally brought this to our attention. Brett Cooper also went on Fox News yesterday to talk about this. We can go to clip number 43. Now, the outcome of this is that it has been defeated for now. House Republicans quietly slipped pesticide immunity into spending bill. Now they've been forced to yank Section 453 after massive backlash. Here is at least part of that backlash from Brett Cooper on Fox News yesterday.
House Republicans are slipping something into our new spending bill. It is Section 453, I believe, which would give immunity to huge pesticide companies. I think it would cover 57,000 different chemicals. And these are chemicals that have been linked to cancer and Parkinson's and infertility. And House Republicans are just slipping it in, which feels like they're giving the middle finger to MAHA. And so while I am excited about getting rid of paper straws, and I hate them, I think any girl who enjoys her iced lattes every day wants them gone. But it feels like this is a bigger issue that we should be talking about if we're concerned with the chemicals and that sort of thing.
And of course, we should be and are. So the backlash has succeeded for now. Of course, what we know about these things is that they never take their ball and go home, right? They'll just try a different way. They'll try a different method. Of course, the whole thing's absurd. The only reason you'd want immunity is because you know you're hurting people. And here Trump gets in part at least, on the MAHA wave, RFK Jr. coming over, MAHA promises, we're going to make America healthy again, we're going to hold these big corporations to account, they're poisoning your food and water. I mean, they ran on that. And now, not only are they not stopping the pesticides in the food and water, they're trying to make it impossible for you to sue if you're injured by these things. It is an absolute middle finger to MAHA. It's a middle finger to the American people. It's a middle finger to the people that elected Trump on the basis that he would do something against this, and he says he's doubling down and going in favor of it, him and his proxies who are putting this out, including Lee Zeldin at the EPA. But it's also a middle finger to the average American who, whether you know it or not, you're being poisoned with pesticides. You don't have to be aware of this attack for it to be affecting you. So this is really a middle finger to just the health of America overall. I want to go to some more videos here, again, just to remind you what we're dealing with. Let's go to, I just had it here. I actually have a couple because we also have Mel Gibson. Let's go to clip number five first. We'll go to clip number five. This is Mel Gibson dropping a banger. He's in Italy and talking about how healthy the food is there. Let's watch.
Hi, Mel Gibson. I'm in Italy where the food supply hasn't been messed with. You know, there's no GMO stuff allowed. So the grain and the pasta is great. I can eat it like all day and not get porky. And all the cheeses are wonderful. Buffalo mozzarella from the Napoli region. Unpasteurized milk. It's good for the biff. Save the biff. It's your last line of defense against, well, all the environmental things that come to assault us. Particularly in the food supply. Okay, I'm digging it over here.
Yeah, our food is poison. Our food is absolutely poison, and it's horrific, and we have the evidence of this. Let's go to clip number 55 here, and we see as glyphosate use skyrocketed, so did diseases. What do you know? Let's watch.
Starting in the early 90s, use of the chemical pesticide glyphosate on our food supply began to skyrocket. Over the next 20 years, we saw an almost identical increase in the rates of bowel disease, thyroid cancer, renal disease, stroke, obesity, diabetes, and autism. We cannot let chemical companies have full immunity from causing health problems. Call your representatives now and tell them we must remove Section 453 from the House Appropriations Bill.
And that's from MAHAaction.com. And enough people listen to that advice, listen to that call to action, and it has been withdrawn. The House Republicans quietly inserted and then just as quietly removed a highly controversial provision from the 2026 Interior and Environment Spending Bill after a firestorm of public outrage exposed what critics called a blatant attempt to shield powerful chemical corporations from accountability. Section 453 of H.R. 4754 would have blocked federal funding for the EPA to update pesticide labels, guidance, or policy if those updates differed in any way from prior health assessments, even when new science emerged showing increased risks. After intense pressure from watchdog groups and conservative commentators, House leadership yanked the provision before the bill heads the floor this week. The now removed language stated, Section 453, none of the funds made available by this or any other act may be used to issue or adopt any guidance or any policy, take any regulatory action, or approve any labeling or change of such labeling that is inconsistent with or in any respect different from the conclusion of A, the human health assessment performed pursuant to the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, or B, a carcinogen classification for a pesticide. In plain English, freeze pesticide labels in place regardless of emerging science. And of course, again, as Tiffany Cianci was here and explaining, you know, the real depth of absurdity here, it's very good that these have been removed. 57,000 plus pesticide products would have been shielded from failure to warn lawsuits. This would, in effect, act as a liability shield for pesticide companies. The same liability shield that vaccine producers appreciate, enjoy. Bayer, the German manufacturer of glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, has experienced a stock price crash and is on the hook for $16 billion in settlements from glyphosate cancer litigation. They're repeatedly losing court cases because of the overwhelming evidence that glyphosate is connected to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Similarly, Paraquat, manufactured by ChemChina, is tightly connected to Parkinson's disease and litigation is underway. It's a pesticide that's banned for use in China, yet they sell it to us and now want legal immunity when we get Parkinson's from their product. These pesticides are not necessary. They're not even legal in places like Europe or even China. They are not, you know, it's not like we are going to starve if we don't use these. And they're all poison, and they're all absolute poison, and they know that they're poison. And as I've pointed out a million times before, when it comes to things like, you know, gay frogs, they really do, they know what they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose. They know glyphosate is unhealthy. That's why they're trying to get immunity for it. So again, it's not like, oh, they're just trying their best, and years later we learn, oh, there were these bad health effects. No, they know there are bad health effects now. And they're writing laws to ensure that they continue to poison us and we continue to have no ability to stop them. They're evil. And unfortunately, it's the Trump administration that is really doing the heavy lifting in, you know, trying to get this stuff over the line. Thankfully, enough people woke up to this and were outraged by it and made them stop it, but they'll try it again. They'll do it again. They'll do it quietly. It'll be in the middle of some big, you know, fight over some big bill. They'll slip it in quietly because obviously they really, really, really want to poison us. They really, they just want no barriers to their ability to poison all of us. And you can go to modernagalliance.org to see a bunch of information about this. Section 453 says EPA cannot change its determination about whether a chemical causes cancer unless the EPA does a whole new study from scratch. It simply reaffirms the existing framework. Oh, wait, so is this? I don't know. Is this pro or against? I'm not even sure, actually. Section 453 would make it impossible for states to protect people by holding companies legally accountable for failing to warn against harm. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Section 453 would mean the manufacturers cannot warn that glyphosate causes cancer on the label. It would actually be prevented from warning that. And then you'd be prevented from suing if you got cancer because of the lack of warning. Absolutely incredible. Moving on, Trump posts chart proving 72% of U.S. Somali households are on welfare. President Donald Trump shared a chart on social media this week showing welfare usage rates among immigrant households in the United States. The chart, titled Immigrant Welfare Recipient Rates by Country of Origin, lists the percentages of immigrant households receiving public assistance broken down by country or region of birth. According to the data shown, approximately 72% of Somali-born households in the U.S. receive some form of government welfare, placing Somalia among the highest listed countries on the chart. Other groups shown with high welfare participation rates include households from Bhutan, Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, and several African, Middle Eastern, and Caribbean nations, many exceeding 50%. It used to be a law that you had to prove that you would not be a ward of the state to even get into this country. Now it seems like the number one reason to get into this country is so that you can milk our welfare system for everything that it's worth. It's one of these situations where there's no reason why this should have ever been the case. It's just like beyond description that we live in a country that will allow tens of millions of people into this country who just don't work. We just bring them in and then give them our tax dollars to replace us. This is insane. It's also happening across the entire Western world, and it is obviously the consequence of very extreme, long-lasting, and highly effective psychological operations. Why would anybody agree with this? And why do they now? Because they hate America and want to see us destroyed? Because they've been driven insane by leftist propaganda and don't know which way is up? I don't know. But it's absolutely insane that we have anybody in this country from another country that isn't contributing. It doesn't make any sense, y'all. Every single one of them should be sent back to where they came from. Immediately and without question. And you can just see the astronomical number of people receiving 50% or more of their population living off of the dole. It really is just pathetic. 2,000 federal agents have been deployed to Minneapolis in immigration crackdown and fraud probe. The Trump administration has begun a massive deployment of hundreds of Department of Homeland Security agents in the Twin Cities as it escalates its federal crackdown amid a widening fraud scandal in Minnesota. Multiple law enforcement officers familiar with the plan told CBS News. The crackdown could involve roughly 2,000 agents and officers from Immigration and Customs Deportation Branch and Homeland Security Investigations, the agency's investigative arm tasked with fighting transnational crimes. The officials said they requested anonymity to discuss operations that have not been publicly announced. How about we just treat them all like Nicolas Maduro? How about all of them get black bagged in the middle of the night? What if we had a full-fledged military operation to protect our country from the hostile foreigners that are robbing us blind and that we can't seem to do anything about? There's a major disconnect when you can deploy aircraft carriers, you can assault a sovereign nation, you can start a war on a whim, but we can't get people out of our own country. Do you understand how broken things are? There's no barrier whatsoever if a president says, go kidnap that head of state and kill 100 people while you're at it. It just happens. They just do it. Nobody says anything. Then in our own country, our own backyard, where our own people are being screwed over, our own people are being murdered, our own people are being robbed from, Kilmar Abrego Garcia cannot be touched by the law. Thousands of Somalis with thousands of daycare centers featuring zero children in any of them have to be treated with kid gloves? Something's not right here. Either we have sovereignty and can act like Venezuela, or we're slaves like in America. Can we just do it already?
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula, you like it? I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
The Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. Final segment of the War Room, and I got a lot of videos to go to today. In this final segment, I want to start with, I think, a very interesting observation from Ed Dowd. This is one of these things that I know what he's talking about, but I hadn't put it together yet. I hadn't thought about it in the way that he explains it. A lot of people know now, and the meme is that the American economy is just like four AI companies basically sharing money back and forth. Basically, our entire stock market is upheld by like NVIDIA and a few others. And a lot of the money that's moved is just moving between these companies. It's all kind of a shell game. But those are the ones dominating the stock market right now, the AI companies and the, you know, manufacturing companies that serve the AI companies. And Ed Dowd explained what this means in a way that I had not heard before. And let's go to this video of Ed Dowd now. Do y'all know which one I'm talking about? Clip 50 here. Let's go to clip 50.
Think about what the stock market is telling you. The most highly valued companies are AI companies. AI is going to be, you know, if you want to be cynical, which I am, the market is telling you that the most valuable stocks are the ones that are building the digital prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's the only growth in the country at the moment is the building of the digital prison. Think about that for a second.
Jeez.
That's it.
The
growth in sectors are building our future enslavement. That's where the last bit of growth is coming from.
The digital panopticon, the digital gulag.
Yep.
The states are tax farms, and I guess they're just trying to adopt digital technology, right?
So yeah, pretty disturbing, but I can't help but agree with him. Everybody knows the AI companies are the things dominating the stock market right now. Just who's put it together that, yeah, once AI is fully implemented, it will be in charge. It's only the corporations that are engaged in building the digital prison that are making any money right now and the subject to any growth. Because remember, this is by design. The collapse is manufactured, it's managed, it's deliberate. And it ends in your complete dispossession or eradication. It's up to you. I mean, that's what they're going for. There's a reason that there's no growth in any other sector, because it's death in every other sector. And they have rigged the system to be exactly what best serves those at the top, the moneyed interests. You look at the hypocrisies or the cognitive dissonance of some of these designs, some of the plans, and you'd have to be a fool not to understand what's going on. When the same organizations are telling white people to stop breeding, to stop having kids, to save the earth by ending their bloodline, and then are simultaneously saying, oh my gosh, the economy can't handle it. We need a million refugees. Like, you don't need me. You should not need me to explain this. This isn't difficult. It's actually kind of obvious. People are finally waking up to this to some degree. And I don't know exactly how to handle this, because normies are resistant to truth, and it's really hard to break through to the average person. And it's almost like the average person has so absorbed the talking points from the left now that they almost like they like believe that it's white supremacy to not want white people to go away. And so you see a lot of people out there going from, you know, colorblind liberal to like hardcore Nazi. And it's like, guys, that's a false dichotomy they're presenting you with. You're falling for it. You don't have to hate anybody to be in favor of your own continuing existence. Okay? It's okay to just say this is wrong and bad, what's happening, and it shouldn't be happening. It's actually not that hard. It's actually not that hard to come up with. The problem, the reason why this is difficult to achieve, is because the attack against us is so flagrant, is so evil, is so vicious, that when you do finally wake up to it, your first impulse is to be enraged and furious at what's going on and reactionary in a negative way. I don't think you need to. We need to recognize how evil this stuff is, combat it, and oppose it with everything that we've got, while also recognizing that the normie brain has a firewall installed that activates the moment they think they've detected hateful language in you. And this is a skill you have to develop. I don't know if I've done it that well. But maybe we need to have examples. Maybe I need to go around doing man on the street content, not to get arguments and controversy, but to just see if you can break through the normie firewall. See if we can get them to understand reality at even a basic level. It's difficult. And again, I don't know if it's a strategy or just a natural consequence, but it's almost like the attacks are so insane, so overwhelming and hateful and vicious that even explaining them, people don't want to believe it. Like this one. Deaths to outnumber births from now on. Britain faces shrinking population unless it welcomes more migrants, Resolution Foundation warns. Can you identify from that sentence alone what the embedded lie of this story is? It's not really even embedded. They kind of come out and say it. Deaths to outnumber births from now on. As if there's nothing you can do to reverse this. As if there's no reason why it's this way, that causes can be identified and confronted and reversed and the birth rate can rise again. That's treated as if it doesn't even exist, as if that's not even a possibility, just things are going down and they'll continue to go down forever. And so to make up for this, we got to bring in more migrants. It's obviously a lie, but embedded in it is this genocidal condition that just says there's nothing you can do. And there's another video that went viral over the weekend. Should have pulled it in. Maybe I'll pull it in later this week. But it was an argument between, I believe it was Steve Laws is his name, who's a sort of white nationalist activist in the UK. And he was arguing against a Jewish guy who's a Jewish British guy. And it's all about identity and what is Britain. And the Jewish guy is going, hey, it's kind of over for y'all. Like there's, you know, it's kind of no getting back to where you were at this point. And Steve Law responds like, that's ridiculous. What are you talking about? All you have to have is the will and the effort and the motivation to do it. Of course it's possible to save the UK. It's not just possible. It would be easy if everybody would just get out of their way. Do you know how hard it is to crush the spirit of an entire population that was once like on top of the world? Like they have to try so hard to get this condition. They have to really, they had to pull out all of the stops, all the blatant propaganda, all the psyops, all the poisoning in the food and water, all the scams from elementary school on up about climate change, getting you to hate yourself and hate your race and think that humans are bad and a virus and we have to die off. Like, so much has gone into forcing the British people into not replacing themselves, into not having children. All you have to do is get rid of that. The population will explode. Like, that's what naturally happens. You put a group of people on an island, there will be more of them later. Naturally. You don't have to, nobody has to go in and help them figure out how, right? That's actually the natural human condition. You have to put so many restrictions on humans, so many barriers to their procreation to get this outcome. So what the hell do you mean it's impossible to get back to where we were? And somebody else pointed out the creation of Israel, think about it what you want. It was a monumental accomplishment that would make raising the birth rates seem like nothing. I wish I'd saved this tweet, but it was like, Israel created a first world nation in a place that it had no people before, using what is now their lingua franca, was once a dead language, right? Hebrew was not widely used. It would be like a bunch of Europeans creating a country and making Latin the language of that country. That's what they did with Hebrew. So it's like, to see what humans can accomplish in reality that they already have done. I don't have to convince you this has happened. It happened, okay? Because people had a will. They wanted to do something. They had the backing to do the thing. They had the guns and the money and the will and the organization to do it. So they did it. And you're telling me this is the very same people. Remember, the English people were the ones that, you know, colonized the Middle East and gave Israel the land, and then they were attacked and had to split. But, I mean, it was Britain that did this. You're telling me the same people that conquered the entire world from an island, the sun never set on the British Empire, those people can't possibly do anything to create two babies for every couple? Really? That's an impossible achievement. That's too far. That's too much to ask. This is a demoralization psyop. Deaths to outnumber births from now on. What a ridiculous scam that is. Okay, so screw them. It's not the only article from The Telegraph today about this, or well, I guess this is from a month ago or so. London's demographic change is unprecedented in peacetime. Well, is it peacetime? I don't know. I think you're at war. I think you're quietly at war with the rest of the world and you're losing. When I realized something has happened in London. In 1975, the white British population of London was about 85%. Today, 50 years later, it's just 37% and falling. Yeah. Demographic replacement, wholesale. Obviously, it's on purpose. Obviously, it's by design. Obviously, it is a part of a much wider, century-long plan to eradicate not just white people in Christendom, but what they represent and the ideas that we first put forward, like, you know, resistance to tyrants. We've explained this over and over again. You should be able to understand it by now. But again, the cognitive dissonance is really overwhelming, continuous, and like never ending. Major British university urges end to exams as part of a plan to decolonize its business school because they, quote, favor white students. Birmingham University says the traditional method of assessments are measures of smartness based on white privilege, adding it's harder for students from ethnic minorities to do well. The university, part of the prestigious Russell Group of Universities, made the astonishing claim in its new paper on how to decolonize its business school. It decreed business degrees must change their system and structures to cut links with colonialism and its legacies. So they will no longer be requiring exams or essays because non-white people score lower on them. Diversity ad nauseum is how I like to put it. Diversity ad nauseum. That is diversity until it literally kills you, makes you sick. Are white people pussies? Some reflections on a very stupid question. Yeah, there's the picture of the Delta Force that took out Maduro. 100% white males. Isn't that interesting? That when you actually need something done at the highest level possible, you don't see any transgender fatsos in there. What a surprise. You don't see any mentally ill, two-gender spirit women in that group. Interesting how that works. Not very diverse. Probably need to lower some standards. Diversity is our strength. That's why we lowered the standards, right? Diversity is our strength, so we can't expect them to take tests. They're too strong. The diverse people are too strong to take tests and score well. People are getting this. They're understanding it. They're starting to realize. I mean, everybody should have realized years ago. Again, I don't want to like pat myself on the back, but like so much of what I say is treated as like this anathema. It's like, oh my God, because I'm like the only one saying. Everybody should recognize this. I remember being probably not a little kid. I was probably, you know, middle school or something. But I was going to some edgy websites, and I was seeing some things, and one of the things I kept hearing about was the 14 words. The hell are the 14 words? Oh, it's a neo-Nazi thing. It's Nazis. You don't want anything to do with the 14 words. So you hear about this, and you're like, oh, geez, what is this? What could this be? And then you find out the 14 words are just like, yeah, white people deserve to exist. You look at that, and you go, this is what they're calling hateful? This is what's banned? This is what they're framing as like evil and dangerous and Nazi. It's literally my continued existence and my ability to have children. That's what they're saying is evil. They just hate white people. Okay, it's not that hard to figure out. You don't need to be a genius. You don't need to be an adult. You don't need to speak English. Like, it's pretty obvious. When they say the height of evil is your continuing existence as a race, I think they hate your race. And you don't have to be okay with that. In fact, you shouldn't be okay with that. You should rebel against that, just like you would rebel against a murderer trying to break into your house. No, you deserve to live. Your family deserves to live. Here's the 14 words. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. And it's like, you hear that after being told, like, oh, the 14 words, it's terrible. It's the most evil thing ever. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children? What? Huh? What do you mean? What do you mean that's evil? What do you mean that's bad? You hate white people? Okay. You just hate white people. Let's go to this video of this guy. It's the one I was going to play earlier. I think y'all saw what it was. And it looks like we're getting a new announcement from Trump. I'll do that on the other side. But this video went a little bit viral. It is a respectable British man saying what people should have been saying since probably about the 40s when the whole trend to hate white people got started. Let's go to clip 44 here.
White. Because that's what it seems like. It seems like racist equals white. Because no black man can be racist to me. If I criticize a Jew, I'm an anti-Semite. If I criticize an Islamic, I'm an Islamophobe. What are you if you criticize me? What are you if you try and replace me? What are you if you try and tell me I'm wrong for wanting to protect my children? Apparently, you're a perfectly reasonable person. But I'm a racist for wanting to protect my future. No, bullshit. I don't accept the 14 words as a thing. I think it's ridiculous that anyone could even say that they own this concept, as every human thinks this thing. Black people go on and on and on about black. Asians, like Indians will tell you that India's the best at this, this is Indian, that's Indian, everything's brilliant that is Indian. Good for you, you love your people. I'm glad for you. I love mine. But don't call me on a racist just because you don't like the word white. If you don't like the word white, maybe you shouldn't live in a white country. Like, really, if you don't like white people, go away. White people live here. I'm really sick of it. I'll be honest, I'm really sick of it. I'm sick of us being exceptionalized. This is happening every Western country. What we used to call Christendom is under attack. By its own people, by its own elite. And we're supposed to just sit here and be arrested for having an opinion? No, I'm not a racist because I'm white. I'm a racist because I'm a human. Every human is racist. It's normal to love your own people more than you love other people. It's normal. The creation of the word racist doesn't suddenly make me an evil person. It's a concept. It's not even a real thing. It's called in-group bias and out-group bias. It's genetics. It's frustrating, to be honest, that these questions even exist.
Yeah, it is. We're seeing the backlash to it. And I'm telling you, folks, what you're witnessing right now is going to change everything. When you have attractive European girls calling for remigration, we've achieved some sort of watershed moment. It's very good to see. So that video went viral as well, the remigration video. Quickly, we'll go to clip 11 to show you the exact opposite of this. This is the police in Scotland, what they think about white people. Let's watch.
There are obviously concerns expressed sometimes about how different parts of Scotland will respond to the new individuals and the new families joining them, coming into their communities. But I believe we can build on the good practice which we see in places like Glasgow, a wealth of experience receiving asylum seekers and refugees over a considerable period of time. There are numerous success stories, and we mustn't forget those. There's a huge amount of learning we can already take from the work that you're doing and take to all those areas of the country to assist new arrivals wherever they are located. As I've said, our job is to keep all people safe and to protect vulnerable people and communities, particularly from victimisation. I want to make it really clear that just as you won't tolerate any form of hate crime, neither will we. Where people are targeted because of their gender identity, their sexual orientation, disability, or because of their race or religion, we will do something about that.
Yeah, they'll throw you in jail. They'll throw you in jail for disagreeing with it. And they're so strong. They're learning so much. It's just, you know, don't try to get them to do a test or anything. Okay. All right. We need them. I mean, without them, you know, we're lost forever. It's just like, don't ask them to do what white people do. Okay, that's mean. All right. It's very disrespectful of their culture to ask them to do something and then grade it alongside white people. Okay, how dare you? All right. Diversity is our strength. So we're not grading tests anymore. Okay. Diversity is our strength. So we're not going to be reporting on races when it comes to crime anymore, okay? Because diversity is our strength, remember? We're going to have laws against opposing the bringing in of all these people because of how strong they are. This is breaking from Trump. Today, the Trump administration is proud to announce the United States of America's updated childhood vaccination schedule. This schedule is rooted in the gold standard of science and widely agreed upon by scientists and experts all over the world. Effective today, America will no longer require 72 jabs for our beautiful, healthy children. We're moving to a far more reasonable schedule where all children will only be recommended to receive vaccinations for 11 of the most serious and dangerous diseases. Parents can still choose to give their kids all of the vaccinations if they wish, and they will be covered by insurance. However, this updated schedule finally aligns the United States with other developed countries around the world. Congratulations to HHS Secretary Bobby Kennedy, CDC Acting Director Jim O'Neill, FDA Commissioner Marty Markery, as well as several others, including NIH Director Jay Bhattacharya, and all of the medical experts and professionals who worked on this. Many Americans, especially the MAHA moms, have been praying for this common sense reform for many years. Thank you for your attention in this matter. That is an absolute victory, folks. That is an unqualified victory for us. Look at that. He's attached a meme. European countries, 11 injections. American babies, 72 injections. What a ridiculous farce our healthcare system has become. And this sets it back somewhat closer to being something that can affect good in the lives of people. That is absolutely incredible. Trump administration cuts number of vaccines recommends for every child from 72 to 11. HHS, at its comparison of 20 peer nations, found that the U.S. was an outlier in both the number of vaccinations and the number of doses it recommended to all children. Officials with the agency framed the change as a way to increase public trust by recommending only the most important vaccinations for children to receive. That is absolutely incredible, because you understand that with this, you can no longer, like, schools can no longer demand that your kid is vaccinated. Like, this guidance is what they depend on. So if they want to reject your kid from school and say, well, the government says you have to have all this, well, they don't say that anymore. This is a major positive announcement, along with the removal of Section 453 and the immunity for pesticides. That is to home run, knock it out of the park. Unqualified victories for RFK Jr. and the MAHA movement. Well done. Governor Gavin Newsom issued a statement on Trump's administration's vaccine schedule endangering the lives of infants and children. Yeah, go get your jabs, Gavin. Gavin, I want you to be injected with all 72 of these shots. Do it in one sitting so you can show us how safe they are. Do it, Gavin. You're a big, strong old man, right? You're not just a little baby. And if it's so safe for babies, you sit down and get these 72 vaccines injected in your body. Do it all at once if they're so safe. I encourage you, and I encourage all of our enemies to go get your vaccines. Go get them again and again and again, folks. You idiots. God bless Trump and the MAHA movement.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven, it's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs, potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.